Welcome to Defining Tanya. We're into Ois Mem, but we were just in a conversation, so I'm going to carry on. So I said to the Mechutin last night, there's a big question because we say Yud K Vav K, that the avoider of the Yid is to be Miyachid the Yud K with the Vav K. Yeah? But if you spend any time in the Kisvei Ari, very quickly you'll realize that the avoider of Am Yisrael is actually connecting the Vav and the Heyachroina. That's the Kesher of Zoin, of Ze'anpin and Nuk, the Kesher of Yisrael and Rochel, the Kesher of Kudsha Brichu Shchinte, the Kesher of Torah with Nishmas Yisrael, the Kesher of the Vav. The six Midas with Malchus, that's the whole avoider of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael are Knesset Yisrael, which is Rochel. And when we do avoid, when we're asuk in avoid lishma, what that is on a Kabbalistic level is Rochel turning her face towards Yaakov, towards Yisrael, and being mizdaveg, panim al panim. Yeah. So just. This is a little bit off topic, but it's very cool. Is that the highest level, Atik, yeah, Atik and Arich, yeah, which are the two highest levels. They're both Bechinas of Keter, yeah, Keser. So Atik Yomim, which is the highest level, and we don't speak about that much. You don't speak about it that much in the Kisveri. I don't think there's that much to speak about. We speak about Arich endlessly, so much about Arich, yeah. But Atik is much less. It's still quite a lot, but it's still much less. But Atik, the there is no zug by Atik. Atik and Arich are not a zug, yeah, not like Abba and Imma. Atik is the panemius of Arich, but you can't say that Abba is the panemius of Imma, like on this Midrega. So this is an amazing thing to understand, yeah. Atik has two sides, if you could say such a thing. Yeah, it ha no, sorry, no, sorry, not two sides. Atik has a panim and a och, a face and a back. If you wanted to use the word zoch and nekeva, yeah, which is not with this is not correct, but if you wanted to use zoch and nekeva with Atik, you would say the ponim is zocher and the ach is nekeva. But that you don't say that, and that's not correct. But okay, Arich, which is a Madrega down, is still an Echad. It's still not zoch and nekeva, but it has a left and a right side. So it's still one, yeah. It's still one, but its left side is Nekeva, if you can say such a thing, and its right side is Zocher. So it's one, but left and right is a little bit more separate than front and back. But they're still one. When you get to Abba and Imma, now Abba and Imma are Shtei Partsufim, yeah, Zocher Nekeva. That's really is Zocher Nekeva, but they're always in a zivug, panim al panim. That's the relationship of Ava Ima. Zoin, Ze'anpin, and Nuk, yeah, Ze'anpin and Malchus, now that's Zoch and Nekeva, Avadai, and they by default are back to back. So the way the Kabbalistic world works is at the highest level, which is Atik, it's a complete Yichud without, it's not fair, male and female, it's a complete yichud, but it's got a front and a back. That's how much division there is there, which is basically no division. Yeah. Then by Arich, there's again, it's just one. You can't say there's division, but it has a left and a right side. Now go down the next Madrega and you have Abba and Imma. Yeah. They are two separate things, but they're always in a zivug, a face to face zivug with each other. Shamitzi, this is going to be absolutely nothing to what we're saying right now because you missed the Hakdama. But anyway, and then you have Zoin, which is Ze'anpin and Nekeva Malchus, which are by default back to back, and our avoider is turning them front to front. Yeah, which is the avoider of Rochel turning face to Yisrael, and then Yisrael turns to her. It's more complicated than that, but on one lane. So now, we said before, yeah, we all know that it says Yudke Vavavke. Yeah, we'd be miyached the yud and the hey with the vav and the hey. Yeah. And there's loads of drushes on that. That goes on forever, yeah. But when you learn in the Kisvei, the actual avoda of Yisrael is you realize that we are connecting the vav and the hey achrona. That's where the break is. That it's all meyuch, it's all kashur, the yud and the hey and the vav. But what's not kashur is the vav with the final hey, and that's the avoda of our.
That's the tshuv hey. That's the tshuv hey.
That's right. Exactly. That's tshuva. Hey, there's a lot to say on that. Yeah, but it's a kasha. What's the answer? Why does the thing that we say every day talk about being makasha the yud and the hey with the vav and the hey? When you learn be'ian and you realize that the avoda is being makasha the vav and the hey achoina. And I asked this to Rav Haas. Yeah, and if I understood correctly, this is what he said. And this is. It's so funny because, like, how much higher does it get? What we just spoke about doesn't get any higher. But listen to how practical this is. Listen to how unbelievably practical it is, which is always the case when you hit MS. Is that if the relationship between the mother and father is healthy, yeah, then their relationship to their son is going to be great. And if their relationship, if the parents have got a proper connection with the son, meaning the child, then he will be able to have a face-to-face relationship with his wife. So what are we connecting the yud and the hey and the vav and the hey, or are we connecting the yud hey vav and the hey achrona? And the answer is yes. Is that the yud and the hey, the first yud and the hey, if it's the same thing, if we can connecting the yud and the hey to the first vav will cause the vav and the hey to be connected, so that the both statements are true. And on a practical level, that means that when the parents are having a healthy relationship with their child will be able to have a healthy relationship with their spouse.
Nice. Wow.
That,
That was before the
thank God he speaks English. I wouldn't have been able to say that in Hebrew. But that is the structure of reality. Like, that's why it's always so it's just funny to hear, like, you're talking about all Kabbalah Deka Arich and Atik and Abba Ima and Zoin and Vekule and the Kashrus and Zdavkus and Zivug and Kesha and this and that. And then it comes out, as it is always with reality, is that means when the parents have a really healthy relationship with their child, that child will be able to have a healthy relationship with their spouse.
Well,
Yeah.
bottom line, very nice.
So,
Beautiful.
okay, so that was a side point. We are holding Ois Mem. 1 minute. Let me just put my down. Let me just grab some water for a moment. We're holding Ois Mem, and what we're up to now is Moya Shole Alalev, which is one of my favorite concepts in Yiddishkeit. And I know for sure that most of you are aware, we've spoken about this topic many times, and we always give the example of a guy who's about to have a cigarette, and the guy jumps out of the cupboard and says, here's $1,000 to not have the cigarette. And all of a sudden he's able to not have the cigarette. Yeah, that basically you've got a price, and this is the foundation of everything, is when we say your brain rules over your heart, we mean it rules over the part of your heart that is responsible for action. Because you've got your emotions, And then you've got your behavior. Now, if I'm about to beat the hell out of someone, I've got really angry, I'm about to beat someone up, yeah? And I'm like fuming, this guy does something terrible, and I've got him, and I'm about to punch him. And you come up to me and say, you know, here's $10 not to do it. Not going to happen. But if you fan out, you know, $20,000 and say, put him down, yeah, you let go of him. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're friendly with him now. You might want to punch him, but you've made a decision, an intelligent decision, that it's not worth it because you've got more to gain from not punching him. But it doesn't mean that the desire to punch him went away. So when we say moyach shel alalev, we don't mean that your moyach is, well, we don't on the pshat mean that your moyach is able to dominate your heart. But moyach shel alalev means two things, okay? The moyach shel alalev translates as the heart rule, the mind rules over the heart. So the first most important thing to know, don't know if you can say it's the most important, the first, and I don't know if you can say it's the first, yeah, the first, it's definitely the first thing. The first thing that you can say about the heart ruling over the mind ruling over the heart means your mind is able to rule over the part of your heart that is responsible for action. Is responsible for the emotions expressing themselves into behavior, thought, speech, or action. Yeah, your mind, like I said, the guy fans out $10,000. Yeah, you let the guy drop to the floor and you don't hit him. So that's the first meaning of Moshe And that is the most important meaning of it, yeah. But there's a second meaning of the same, if you call it chazal, I don't know what you call it. That yes, your mind is actually in charge of the way your heart feels. And I'm reading a book right now called Feeling Good. Has anyone heard of this book by Dr. David Burns, MD? It's a monster of a book. It's about 600 pages. I'm about 400 pages in. I've been reading it since May. It's called cognitive therapy. And basically, he's just talking over and over and over about how depression and basically how you feel is to do with how you think. It's literally a 600-page essay on how you think is how you'll feel. And someone mentioned I saw today someone mentioned, but there's a book called Stopping Smoking the Easy Way or something. You know what it's called? By Alan Carr. What's that book called? Minute. Alan Carr. The Easy Way to Stop Smoking by Alan Carr. Anyone heard of that book? Yeah, anyone's read it? You read it, Michael? You're not a smoker, are you? You smoked? You ever smoke? Ben, you
But
smoke?
I know people who do, and I know people that have read the book and then it's helped them.
Yeah. I managed to stop smoking because of that book. Yeah, that book was a re it rewired your mind. He mummish rewired your mind. It was unbelievable. A clever, clever man. It's worth reading. It's really worth reading it. Just
I thought smokers are chemically addicted versus mentally mental.
Yeah. But the actual physical addiction is so subtle, but the physical addiction drives the thinking, and the thinking drives you nuts, and then you can't do it. So there is for sure there's a chemical addiction, a physiological addiction. But this is the point. Is that if you're thinking straight, but I remember when I was in India one time, I saw a girl who was addicted to heroin, yeah, and she was going mad. Like I never saw anything like that before. I have a friend of mine as well who had a brother-in-law who was addicted to heroin, And he told me about when they put him in this room, and he said you couldn't imagine the screaming and the but I saw this girl in my own eyes, and she was like going, I mean, she was like going mad, like mum was freaking out. And that was a fit. She was in physical pain because she needed her fix. Yeah. But that though, even those kinds of crazy, like the fit, like that kind of and stuff, it doesn't last for that long. And if you can ride it out the wave, yeah, then it just ends up again back in the, it goes back into a mental thing. Basically, meaning almost exclusively, yeah, almost exclusively is everything how we're feeling is to do with our mind. Yeah. And this is what this guy is saying in this book again and again and again, talking about, you know, the craziest kinds of thinking that people are having. And by just as a side point, just as a little chizuk for us, is one of the big kind of eights that he gives. And this guy's got, you know, like he's got years and years of experience and stuff, is if somebody's in a depression, which is that's what he's basically doing with people in depressions, is get them to become argumentative with their negative thinking. Like when they say, oh, I'm no good, or I'm such a loser, I don't deserve anything, have them argue back. Have them argue it. Say back to yourself, wait, well, explain to me why I'm no good. Tell me why I'm such a loser. Tell me. And then you'll say back to yourself, well, because, you know, because I didn't get that job. And then you'll say back to it like, that doesn't mean you're a loser. You didn't get that job. It doesn't mean you're a loser. You didn't get a job. It make you not a loser. And yeah, but then I didn't get the job before that as well. And then and he writes out these arguments. It boils down to that a lot of the time. That's just a side point. But I thought it was a very as a it sounds like a powerful sounds like a powerful
Oh,
technique.
yeah. It's a power defensive move of self-improvement. Like you're arguing for your life versus like just giving up.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because like he was saying, like he put out this like he made an idea of like being an attorney, like someone turns around and says, I really don't deserve to live. I'm so useless, and I just don't. I feel like me taking up space is really is a bizarre. Yeah, what would you say to them? You would start arguing back, saying, what are you talking about? And you would argue it back, you know, and he was saying try and become argumentative with these negative thoughts, and then that's how I always talk about distancing yourself from the negative thoughts and realizing that, you know, having a thought of suicide doesn't mean you're suicidal. It just means that that thought flicked through your mind, just like all kinds of thoughts flick through your mind. But I think what he's saying is the stage before that. Because we kind of take that for granted, this idea of, you know, we've spoken about this so much, is creating the distance in you and your thinking. Yeah, but most people don't do that. So you have to become aware that for me to have become aware of that took me reading The New Earth and Power of Now, basically Reclaiming Sanity, you know, half a dozen times, whatever it was. Yeah, then I became so aware of my thinking that I was able to separate from my thinking. And stop having, and just never have basically bad thoughts. Or if I do, to be able to disconnect them also almost immediately. Yeah, but that took a lot of practice when I think back into it, what I did. So here's what he's saying, I think is a much more accessible method is just get argumentative with the bad thoughts and that, and then maybe then start reading Reclaiming Sanity. Just as a side point, again, we're already on a side point, but there's a side to a side, is we're now finished. We finished the first draft of the new Reclaiming Sanity, which we're gonna call Free to Be. Free to Be. Yeah. And it's half the size of Reclaiming Sanity. It's much more pusher, much more engaging, much more geschmack. And it's going to make much more of a difference to people. Really, really, very. It's really good. It's really exciting. Anyway, it's a side point. So Moreshet Elav number one is the Pasha, the way the Rebbe introduces it in Tanya, the first time he introduces it in Tanya, which I think is chapter 13 or 14, he says, or 12, he says, it's Your mind is in control of the part of your heart that is responsible for behavior, which in short means you are always choosing your behavior. Never ever believe that you're not in control. That is a lie. Unless you're actually ill, physically ill, which most of us aren't, you are 100% in control of your behavior, but you choose to say that sharp thing to your wife, or you choose to eat that fourth piece of cake when you didn't even need to eat the second piece, or you choose to drive quickly, etc., etc. None of it it might be unconscious decisions, but you have to remember that you're choosing it and you are available to choose different. And that is a din we call in Chassidus, Moach Shel Alalev. That's number one. But number two is that you are actually in control of the part of your heart that feels, not just the part of your heart that is responsible for emotion, for behavior, but the actual feelings of the heart. And that's what we're just talking about. Is that's what Alan Carr did with that book, The Easy Way to Stop Smoking, is he just drayed on for hours and hours and hours from this side and from that side and from this side and from that side and from above and from below, and then say it again and again and again and upside down and this way and that way and this way and that way. And before you know it, you start to not want to smoke. It actually changes your heart. Actually changes your heart. So you can learn to love your wife if you don't naturally feel good towards her. Or you can actually train yourself to love learning, Torah, if you so desire to. You can actually change your heart. You can learn to, I mean, I'd like to do this, but you could learn to not like pizza, or not to be pulled. Not that you wouldn't enjoy eating pizza, but that you could learn enough health insights into health that would actually dissolve your connection, your emotional connection to pizza. That's the second meaning of Moshe Aleve. And what we're really meant to be doing is we are meant to be using our mind to love Avodas Hashem. That's how that's chapters 16 and 17 in the Tanya. That we are meant to be using our mind. Again, it's called Moshe Aleve, but not just good behavior. Although good behavior actually helps with this as well. When you act correctly, that feeds back into the system and that gives you an emotional ability. That gives you emotional resistance. Like if you've made and kept promises consistently for a long time, you become kind of unable to not keep a promise. Because you've habituated yourself. That's so not only does the mind actually change the heart by what you think about, but the Moich Shole Alalev, the first definition, which is behavioral control, that also feeds back into the heart and helps your heart become a different heart also in a good way. When you act like a tzaddik, you will start to become a tzaddik. By the way, I just realized in chapter 27, 25. One minute. Sorry. I never noticed this before, but the Tanya gives you the end of chapter 27, I never realized this. Chapter 27, there's a big thing in Tanya about they ask like the like is a they say there's a machlokes between the Baal HaTanya and Rabbi Nachman if you can become a tzaddik. with your own avoiders, or is it a gift from Shemayim? Yeah, it's not, I don't think there's such a machlokes, but I've heard people say that. Yeah, where Rabbi Nachman says that, yeah, you can become a tzaddik, and the Baal HaTanya says you it's up to Hashem. Two people could spend the same amount of energy working in the avoiders Hashem for the same amount of time, and Hashem will go, yeah, you're going to be a tzaddik, and the other guy, he says, you're going to stay a beinoni. Yeah, I'm not going to change your heart to be completely aligned with me. Yeah. But then I read in chapter 27, which is possibly for me one of my favorite prakim in Tanya, is he says at the end that if you're makadish yourself with what's mutter to you, meaning that you take your avodas Hashem to such a level where there's no avodas anymore. That's well gone. Yeah, but we're talking about, you know, the kind of thing where, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you say that you don't need to say. It's not adding value to anyone. It's not, you know, you don't need to say it. It might be a funny quip, you know, but still probably doesn't need to be said. Yeah. So he talks about that, and you know, and abstaining from food, not being good, not we're not talking about eating too much. We're talking about, you know, delaying your meal by an hour or two. Why? For the sake of just telling yourself to shut up and to just be in control of yourself. And he says at the end of chapter 27, if you do that, you'll become a tzaddik. So he said, that's like the lesson of the Tanya. Oh, you take my word for it. But so it sounds to me that when a if a person actually does want to become a tzaddik, which means to have your inner world aligned with God, meaning that you won't even see the pleasure of forbidden relations. Imagine that. Imagine that. A beautiful woman dressed, you know, like in LA style, not preacher stick, like Zona dick. You know what I'm talking about? Like you've got women who are sneers, then you've got women who are preacher stick who they could be very sneers people, but they got a low top, or they're showing their elbows, you know, or they're, you know, but they're not. But and then there's Zona dick. That's like that's a different madrega of preachers, where the woman's mamash, and there's, you know, like what's the difference between showing your elbow, not showing your elbow? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm not, you know. I'm not an el you know, I never heard of a guy calling himself an elbow guy. You know what I'm saying? It's a hike. It's not an Indian, so the girl doesn't know the well, or you know, you see the bones here. Again, I never heard anyone saying that I'm the neck bone guy, you know? So that's an Inyan of Preetzus, yeah. It's not Poseida, but it's an Inyan of Preetzus, but it's not an Inyan of the woman. It doesn't mean the woman isn't sneers. It means she's not dressing sneers. Doesn't mean she's not sneers, yeah. But then there's Zonadik, which is that's not, you know, that I don't need to go into that, yeah. Why do you say this? What are we talking about?
Self-control.
We were talking about holding yourself back. What did I say?
Delaying speaking to satisfaction.
How did
And
that?
if you align your inner world with Hashem.
How did that? How on earth did I get into this thing about being Zen? Oh, yeah. So you see a woman walking down a street, yeah, a beautiful woman who's Zonadik, yeah, and the fight is there's no fight to look at her. It's not like you want to catch a peek. It's you feel repulsed. We can't imagine that. Or something comes up on your computer screen, and you're like, oh, you can't, you know, you don't know where to put yourself. I mean, we can't imagine that. But that was what a tzaddik would be. A tzaddik would be repulsed by such a display of selfishness. Repulsed by it. So that's what it means to be a tzaddik. Not that your behavior's in line. That's you've got no excuse for bad behavior. So there's no excuse for bad behavior. Yeah. But if the Rebbe is talking about, if you want to become a tzaddik, then That's largely to do with being mekadesh yourself with what's mutter to you, and that's going back to Moshe Aleph. So we said the two things of Moshe Aleph are really one thing. There's Moshe Aleph, which means you can behave correctly every time. All your behavior is always a decision, a choice that you're making. Yeah. You might have become habituated to it, but you can still make a choice to act differently or to speak differently or to think differently. It's number one. The number two is Moshe Aleph means that you can actually change your heart by how you think. When you learn deeply into who Hashem really is and how personable he actually is and how much he cares about his mitzvahs, what his mitzvahs actually mean to him, etc. Yeah. Or you learn about his yichud and what it means when we say Hashem Echad. Yeah. Or we learn about what it means to be a yid and what your responsibility in the world actually is. Yeah. That starts to change your heart. That starts to really change your heart. Yeah. As we know. I mean, I always give the example of a lollipop. You know, when a 2-year-old sees a half-eaten lollipop, they're like, you know, give it to me. I have a memory of one of my daughters when she was probably 2, and she had a glass of Coke, and it fell on the floor. And then I turned around, and she was on all fours licking the Coke off the floor. So what I mean, I like Coca-Cola, yeah, whatever. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Yeah, if my Coke spills, why wouldn't I get on all fours and lick it off the floor? Why would I rather suffer some serious bad stuff than do that? Yeah, because with my mind, I've grown up and I understand that you can't lick stuff off the floor, and therefore my heart is not there. So we know that the mind does dominate the heart. So we've got the mind determines your behavior. Then we've got your mind can actually influence your heart, but they're really the same thing. They come really the Maaseh, they come back to the same thing, which is about changing your heart. That you can behave correctly, but you have to know that good behavior feeds back into the system and makes you a good person. So in the secular world, they say fake it till you make it. Yeah. That is an extremely Tanya Dicker thing to say. That good. So how do you become a tzaddik? Is act like a tzaddik. How do you become a good person? Act like a good person. How do you become a kind person? Act like a kind person. But people are like, no, I need to feel it before I do it. No, you've got it the wrong way around. By you pretending to be kind, that will feed back into the system and make you kind. By you pretending to be courageous, by you pretending to be controlled, yeah, that feeds back into the system and it manipulates your heart in that direction. Yeah, you
Shmuel,
too.
sure, that's beautiful. Yes, and you're saying most of the time we've been hearing you saying that the seichel, the no moach, is controlling the lev. And now what you're saying is true, but it's the opposite way.
Meaning it's like a by the way, meaning your seichel controls the behavior that then
Which
feeds.
controls is,
Yeah, so
yeah.
but so I'm just trying, we're tying up the shear now and we're finished, but we're saying two things that are one thing. There's the statement. I don't know if it's a chazal. It probably is a chazal, but I know it from Tanya, where he says the moach shoyle al halev, the mind dominates the heart. The mind controls the mind. What do I call it? Yeah, the mind dominates the heart. Yeah. The first meaning in Tanya is that means you can behave how you wish. Yeah. Don't ever be fooled into thinking that you don't have control over your behavior, no matter how it feels. And remember that the $10,000, guy, Papa Smurf with $10,000 jumping out your cupboard. Yeah. Number one. Number two is thinking in a correct way will actually manipulate and transform your heart. But remember that the first one also changes your heart for the good. When you act like a mensch, you become a mensch. Like I'll tell you one thing I try to be muckpid with, yeah, is getting changed in the bathroom. mean, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that you should, I think, look at, you should get changed under your blankets. I don't do that. It costs too much time and energy, and I don't do that. So I go to, but I do go to the bathroom. Yeah, I change in the bathroom, and over summer holidays, sometimes like when you're by the swimming pool and like ever, you get a little lax. But basically, my kids never see ne my kids will never ever see me walk around the house with my top off, ever, never. And I also don't walk around the house without my shoes on. But that's a different. But the point is, like, by going to the, but that's a different thing. The shoe thing is a different thing. But by when I get into my pajamas, I go to my bathroom instead of doing it. What's the difference? You could get dressed in your bedroom. You can get dressed in your bathroom. But the bathroom's a private place, and it does something to a man when you're not prepared to even be like stand naked in your bedroom. Rachel hat. No, just the undergarments. Yeah, that's a good question. But that you're not gonna walk around in your boxers and your undershirt in your even in your bedroom. That makes you more sleaze. You know what I'm saying? It feeds back into the system, and it makes you more of a man. So that simple thing of just instead, and it doesn't, it's like the paper towel thing. Like I know Benjamin likes, yeah, that
Yes.
all of us like the paper towel thing, but it's again, it's something like that, which is not, it doesn't cost you much. You know, it costs you an extra 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever. You just walk to the bathroom instead, yeah. But it really, it again, that behavior feeds back into the system. Who's the shit that I'm asking? I'm not sure what that means, but anyway. But the behavior feeds back into the system, and it makes you more cognizant of the bone structure, and it makes you more sneers. And you'll see if you learn, you know, you learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or learn halacha, that there's endless halachas that are geared to developing your sensitivity to things like this. So it all ties back. So that's what it is.
I would
Just
love to see. I think we love to see a little like cheat sheet on that, like a little book, like all these little things that are you that feedback in the system, all the little things and tips and tricks you can do to feedback. These are great things to take on.
wait a minute.
And it's done.
I'll tell you what page it is. We did it already. 1 minute. Yeah, the best place to see that is page 125. Yeah, strive to avoid asking anyone, listen more than you speak, not before you enter. Wash up your plate after eating, pour drinks for others. And I was talking about this, yeah. And I
That's
was in,
great.
as I was swimming this I was with my
Wow.
swimming, yeah. I'm sorry to say this, but this is mamash so choshev, not peeing in a swimming pool. That is really difficult. And it's really, really holy. So you're in a swimming pool, no one's gonna know, yeah. And it's a real hassle to get out, especially if you're at Yitz's house, yeah. That's a real hassle. It's a real hassle. You have to get out the pool, you have to walk up, you have to traipse through the whole house, you're wet, yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Okay, fine. I'm putting in a bathroom in the backyard.
There you
Fine.
go. So, okay, that's a way out, yeah. But you realize what that does to a man. So you got it all wrong. We think, oh, that's such a hassle, but you don't realize that the hassle is what makes you into a mensch.
Wow.
When
Rob,
you know what I'm saying?
I was going to ask something that is a personal thing that I've done, but it ties in very nicely with what the rabbi is just saying. So about 2, 3 weeks ago, there was a situation in Israel where they had this, one of the hostages was basically digging his own grave. It was propaganda, horrible propaganda. I decided at that moment I was no longer going to eat dessert at all during the week at all. And maybe I spoke to somebody. I made an exception on Shabbos. So anytime I was any ice cream, cake, cookies, nothing, nothing, nothing. I said, but I was training myself to be more sensitive to my heart and to my mind. Every time I passed on a piece of cake in G4 or I went to the bakery, I said, no, I have a sandwich, but no cake. Because I realized I wanted to be more aware that I had to train my mind and my heart to be more cognizant that some brother or child of mine is in hell. So I did this on an ongoing, I'm doing this on an ongoing basis. I think it ties in what you're saying. I'm not sure it's the heart or the brain. I have to figure out which one is more initially affected.
So you're
And
talking.
you look great.
Well, that's a side point.
I think what you're saying, it is tied in, but it's still a, it's a slightly different point. You're the what you're what it's a, it's a, it's different, but it's connected. Like, I understand why you said that, but because you're we're yeah we're you're what I'm talking about is like. Sorry again to say this, but peeing in the pool, yeah. I know that if you would turn around to me and say, "Would you mind if I peed in the pool that you're swimming in?" I would say, "I would rather you didn't, thank you very much." but so it's like directly connected. You're doing an unconnected act, and you're using that unconnected act to remind yourself of Yidden in a bad place. So it's not actually connected.
Okay,
But you've connected it yourself. It's an arbitrary thing. You could instead say, you know what, from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm not speaking.
right here, yeah. I just do some kind, but the rabbi would not argue that a person cannot pee in the ocean.
No, I would think that you could do that. I
Right.
think that would make a
But
difference.
at the same time, but why? If you're trying to get a sense of godless of the man. You're still going to the bathroom in a place that other people are going to, using.
I'll tell you, because I would say like this. I thought about that actually, and I was thinking about that with Yitzi when we went to the ocean the other day, yeah. And I was thinking that if you were to turn around to me and say to me, "Would you mind if I pee in the ocean?" Yeah, while I'm in the ocean, I'll say no, because isn't it hate? Yeah. But when it comes to a swimming pool, I would pro I mean I probably would say go do what I don't care, but Lemaisa, I
No,
would
you wouldn't say that because the swimming pool also is confined and it's personal space.
yeah.
The ocean is so, it's
Right.
inconsequential.
The point is that what you're doing is you're developing a recognition of other people to the point where you're so cognizant of not doing something to somebody else that you don't think is absolutely 100% perfect. That feeds back into the system and makes you a more selfless human being. And again, like we said with the getting changed in the bathroom again, that is built there to help people to become a more sneers person, to become more cognizant of Hashem. So just to finish up, we basically said it again, but the first Moich Shel Alalev, which means behavioral control, is also actually control of the heart. It also actually affects the heart. That's the point. It feeds back, the good behavior feeds back into the heart. And makes you more of a mensch. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.
Thank you. Mazel tov again.
Mazel tov, everyone. Shkoyach, thank you so much.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Okay.
Nerd, come on. Tell us the
Mazel tov.
What's that, Tim?